Open your Bibles, please, to Leviticus. Leviticus, please. Chapter 27. And after you find yourself, your place. Not yourself, your place. Chapter 27 is where I'm going to start. But I think some review is in order. A number of weeks ago, we started our last letter in our Baptist distinctives, and that was the letter of S. And we were looking at stewardship, what I called the sense of stewardship. And there's a play on words there. Of course, sense could be S-E-N-S-E, or it could be C-E-N-T-S, the sense of stewardship. And we looked at 4 points over 2 different weeks. We saw the meaning of stewardship. And again, we saw that God owns everything. There's absolutely nothing that we have that did not in some way, form, fashion, originate from the direct hands of God. We also saw the master of stewardship. We also saw the management of stewardship. And we saw the misery of mismanagement of stewardship. And in that, of course, we could have spent a whole lot more time, but we sort of laid a foundation for stewardship. Now, tonight I want to take that stewardship a little step further down the road. And yes, we are responsible when it comes to stewardship with our time. And, of course, we're responsible for our stewardship and our talents. But, you know, we're responsible for stewardship of the truth. Paul said that the gospel had been entrusted unto him. The truth of the gospel had been entrusted as a steward to him. And every single Christian, that's true as well. Every single one of us have been entrusted with the gospel as Christians. So we're to be stewards of that as well. But the area I want to deal with tonight, of course, is the area of our stewardship with our treasures. Basically, our money. I want to start with a little riddle that I ran across a number of years ago. 2 or 3 of you maybe have heard it. But let me read it again. It says, dug from the mountainside, or made from a tree? Servant am I, or the master of thee? Steal me, I curse you. Earn me, I bless you. Grasp me and hoard me, a fiend shall possess you. Lie for me, die for me. Covet me, take me. Angel or devil, I am what you make me. I keep strange company. One day a criminal, the next day a priest. Today a reward, tomorrow an offering. My power is terrible, terrible or terrific. Use me wisely. What am I? Of course, the answer to that, being what I've presented as our topic, of course, is money. And it is what you make it, isn't it? But we have a responsibility in the area of our money. So tonight I want to look at the Old Testament here, passage. I want to deal with the biblical principle of tithing. Leviticus chapter 27, and verse number 30. 27:30. It says, all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. Now what verse 31 just said, if you refuse to pay your tithe, you no longer owe a tenth. You're to add a fifth to it, that's 20%. So instead of paying your 10%, you now end up paying 30%. If I read that correctly, it said you add to it a fifth part. Verse number 32. And concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. He shall not stretch whether it be good, search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy, and it shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. Now here, of course, is just one place out of many. We could go to Numbers 18, Deuteronomy 18, Deuteronomy 14, 2 Chronicles 31. Nehemiah 13 and 10 and Malachi 3, and we'll get to Malachi 3 in a few minutes. But all those places, and a few others as well, mention the tithe. Some people say, well, Pastor Kemp, tithing is for an Old Testament principle. For the Old Testament economy, it was for the nation of Israel, it's not for us. Well, there might be some truth, and based on what I said when we were looking at stewardship, I said that the paying of the tithe is our recognition, again, that God owns it all. And that's the beginning place for the Christian's giving. As a Baptist, our idea, and down through the years, Baptist people have held strictly to God's business, God's work, God's church, is to be run or operated with the tithes and offerings of God's people. If you'll notice, now this has changed some in the last 10 or 15 years, but down through the years there have been very few Baptist churches holding bake sales or yard sales or this bazaar or that bazaar or doing something like that or having a church-wide yard sale to raise money for the church. As a Baptist, we do not believe that's the appropriate way of running God's house, taking care of God's business. All down through the Word of God, you see that it's up to God's people to take care of God's work. The principle of tithing was first mentioned in Genesis by Abraham. He paid tithe before the law was given. So the principle was established pre-law. And then, of course, also in Genesis 28, Jacob as well paid a tithe. But here in Leviticus 27, we see that the tithe as a law to the nation of Israel was stated. And of course, so it's not just, I don't think, an Old Testament principle. The Lord Jesus Christ mentioned the tithe in many places in the New Testament, and he did not condemn it. So I guess we could say, being that he didn't condemn it, he commended it in what he talked about. Sort of interesting, 12 of the 38 parables that's mentioned in the New Testament that the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with, 12 of 38, he deals with money, one way or the other. So, you know, how we're to get it, or how we're to spend it, or how we're to keep it, or what should be done with it, he mentions and has a lot to say about tithing. Now, from a percentage standpoint, of course, a tithe is a tenth, 10%. Of everything in the Old Testament here in Leviticus. It didn't just say money, did it? It was talking about that which comes from the seed of the land. In other words, everything you produce from the crop. And I remember hearing an old preacher years ago, he said his father started him as a tithe as a boy, as a young boy. He was given so many acres of land to grow things on. And he said he went out with a tape measure and taped off and staked off a tenth of his land, and it was what was produced in that tenth of the land is what he gave to God every year. He said, so he learned early how to determine the tenth. He said he saw his dad, they had, say, 100 cows, and he saw 10 of them every year given to the Lord that was produced. 100 calves, God got 10 of them. He said his dad would take them to the sale, sell 10, and that money would go directly to the Lord. So he saw that principle established in his life over and over. Now, so first of all, what I'm trying to say to you is you see in the Word of God the principle of tithing. It is clearly in the Word of God. Now, again, far as arguing if it's for today, we can deal with that a little bit later. But again, the tithe is foundational in the Old Testament. Pre-law and during law, we see that it was something that was supposed to be done. I've had people tell me over the years as I've pastored, saying, Pastor, I really can't afford to tithe. Every single person that's ever told me that were in the condition they were in because they didn't. Every single one. I learned a long time ago when the Lord worked in Renee and my heart about tithing. As soon as we started tithing, everything else was a whole lot easier. Really. Now, I don't say that glibly. We have tithed now, the best I can keep records. We've been married 31 years, and we've been tithing 27 years of that. You cannot outgive God. I read an interesting little story recently. It said one preacher was talking to another preacher, and he said, How many people in your church tithe? And he said, Oh, about 1,000. He said, well, how many members do you have? He said, oh, about 1,000. Another preacher looked at him and said, how in the world do you get them all to tithe? He said, well, I don't. Only about 50 tithe. God collects on the other 950. And listen, there's a lot of truth to that statement. You can either tithe willingly out of the obedience of your heart, or God comes collecting. And God's collection is usually with interest. You can guarantee it. So you can tithe willingly and be blessed because you're obedient, or God comes knocking one way or the other, he will get his tithe. I look at my father. My father, all the years that I was growing up, as far as I know, only tithed maybe 1 or 2 years of his life. The rest of his life, God came collecting over and over and over and over and over and over. I saw God come, you know, looking back over my dad's life, I can see God having come collecting from my dad. You say, how did he do that? It's called hospital bills. It's called putting out money for the sin of his children and grandchildren. Hospital bills for his wife. Breakdown on cars. Just over and over and over and over and over and over. I could give you illustration after illustration of where God came collecting. I can take my sisters and give you the same type of illustration. And probably some of you can too, if you'll look back across the lives of people that you know that have not, when I say have not tithed, I'm not talking about the lost family members now. I'm talking about people that claim to be a Christian, claim to be saved, and should have been tithing and failed to do so. You can see God collecting on their debt. But the principle of tithing clearly is in Scripture. Second thing I want you to see with me tonight is what I call the purpose of tithing. I want you to turn over with me now, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 14. Deuteronomy chapter 14. We're also going to look at another passage in Numbers. Deuteronomy chapter 14. Notice what it says, please, in verse 27 and 28. Deuteronomy 14:27. It says, in the Levite that is within thy gates, thou shalt not forsake him, for he hath not part nor inheritance with thee. At the end of 3 years thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase the same year, and shalt lay it up within thy gates. And the Levite, because he hath no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow, which are within thy gates, shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thy hand which thou doest. One of the first purposes of tithing, as we see in this passage, is so that the work of God can be fulfilled. Now here, of course, it was dealing with the Levites, and a parallel type of application date would be so the preacher, the pastor, or the pastoral staff would be able to have a living apart from working. Paul said in the New Testament, they that have preached the gospel are to live by the gospel. In another place, quotes Old Testament scripture saying that you're not to muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. So the principle, clearly one of the purposes of tithing, is so the work of the ministry can be fulfilled, so it can be taken care of. Of course, they mention here in verse number 39, that the stranger and the fatherless and the widow may come in. In other words, there's from the beginning, God had a social program to be met through the tithes of God's people. Of course, when God's people stop tithing, the need's still going to be there. So the government, through taxes and different things like that, social programs, Social Security and welfare, has to meet the need in which God's people are to take care of some things. By the way, if God's people help meet needs like that, how many more people could be witnessed to that may never be witnessed to otherwise? See, we have forfeited opportunities to witness because we as God's people fail to give like we should, and then therefore we're not able to take care of the needs of people sometime like we should. So we see here, again, the fulfillment. Go back to Numbers chapter 18. Let's see what it says in Numbers 18. Numbers 18. Notice, please, verse number 21. Numbers 18, 21. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity. And it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance. The tribe of Levi was not given any land portion as an inheritance like the other ones were. So therefore, what was produced on that land was to be given. And again, we see in this passage, as in the other passage we saw in Deuteronomy, that a purpose of tithing was so that the work of the ministry would go forth. Another purpose is simply to show our obedience. It's to show a heart of thanks to what the Lord has given us. It's a way of us showing a heart of thanks for the other 90% that we can from what the Bible says keep apart from offerings that we should give again as a part of what our love is showing. But God's plan for financing the temple was in the Old Testament was through the tithe. And again, the principles carried over by the Apostle Paul. Go with me to Malachi, please. Chapter number 3. And as you find yourself in Malachi, just sort of stick a marker there, because we'll come back to that passage in Malachi. But I want you to find your place there in chapter 3, and then turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, if you'd sit down and study through the Word of God some different topics, and I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago when we were looking in chapter 3 of James about the tongue. I said the Word of God is just packed full of verses on our tongue or on our communication. It is also packed full of verses on money, our stewardship, how to use it, invest it, and that type of thing. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, a couple of verses here that I want to look at under the purpose of tithe. In 1 Corinthians 9, notice verse number 13. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? Notice, Paul's given this principle of the Old Testament here. And they which wait at the altar are partakers of the altar. That's exactly speaking of what we've already talked about for the Levites. Even so, hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. He's giving you that Old Testament principle. He's building on it now in the New Testament economy. Said, even so, those now that preach the gospel live of the gospel. All right, if that's true, and it is, then a principle of giving carries forward as well. If the principle of the living at the altar comes forward, then the principle of giving for that support also comes forward. Now, this verse number 13 is a quote from Numbers 18 that we read in verse 21 through 24 earlier. It's a quote from that passage. So, we see that parallel. Again, that means God's people. That doesn't mean yard sales. Again, that doesn't mean bake sales. That doesn't even mean going around and raking leaves and mowing grass for people in the community to raise money for some church function. It means the tithes and offerings of God's people. So the even so means in like manner. So we see the principle of tithing. We see the purpose of tithing. And number 3 tonight, I want you to see the person of tithing. Who is the tithe? The Old Testament principle was God's people. So from God's people, I could ask this question. Who is not the tithe? Every one of them are. It's sort of interesting down through the years that some people expect the pastor to tithe. They expect the assistant to tithe. They expect the song leader to tithe. They expect the deacons to tithe. They expect the Sunday school teacher to tithe. But when it comes down to them, many times they think they have an out. No, if you have the word Christian tagged on your name, you have a responsibility that you are to give just as much as anybody else is to give. Why? We're told to. The fact that we're told to places us under a debt that we are to give. See, again, where the tithe principle is there before the law. We have seen the principle, you tithe during the law. They did. And again, the biblical principle brought over with this, even so, in like manner, I think is proof that we're to tithe after the law. Go back with me now to Malachi, and we see the fourth thing, not only the person of tithing, the purpose of tithing, and the principle of tithing, but the place of tithing. Malachi chapter 3, in verse number 10, it says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in thine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open ye the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it." I think clearly in the verses we've already read, where were they to bring the tithe? To the temple. In the Old Testament economy, the temple was the storehouse. We could go back to Exodus 34 and verse 26, and it tells them there to bring the tithe into the temple. It's the storehouse. And again, from the verse that we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, quote an Old Testament principle of tithing and supporting the Levite, and even so now the preacher of the gospel is the work of this church is to be supported by the tithes and offerings that's given in and through to this church. Why? This local church where you're a member is your storehouse. That eliminates some things. And I appreciate so very much the attitude and the principle in which Dr. Comfort puts forth from the platform at Ambassador Baptist College. And he says this on a number of occasions to visitors. You do not give your tithe here. The money, your tithe does not go to Ambassador Baptist College. And he makes that clear. He even has said on a number of occasions, if you send in your check and in a letter say, "This is my tithe," it will be mailed back to you. I appreciate that, because Ambassador Baptist College is not your storehouse, your local church is. Some radio station or some radio preacher is not your storehouse. And if God's people would quit sending their tithe to most radio preachers, most of the garbage would quit being preached on the airways because they wouldn't have money to stay on the airways. If just God's people would put their money into the storehouse, and that is their local church. You say, what about other organizations? I'm not against organizations. I am for Ambassador Baptist College. I am for some radio programs. And how should they then be supported? By the love offerings of God's people, but not your tithe. So your tithe, again, is not your own. You can't even decide what you do with it. It comes into this local church, and then as a member of this local church, collectively, corporately, we will vote and decide where all the money goes. But you cannot legally even decide where your money goes with the IRS. You cannot dictate where your money goes from the IRS principles, and I think it's also true from God's principles. It comes into the storehouse, and the storehouse determines. The storehouse is in control of the money, under the direction and control of the leadership of the Spirit of God. So, we see the place of tithing. All the places in the New Testament that Paul dealt with tithing or dealt with offerings and giving, he dealt with the local church. He didn't deal with, side organizations, parachurch organizations. He dealt with the local church, the place of tithing. Is the local church. Fifth thing I want you to see is the penalty or the problem of not tithing. We are in Malachi chapter 3. Let's look back, please, at verse number 8. It says, "Will a man rob God? Yea, ye have robbed God. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee?" Listen to God's answer. In tithes and, what's the next word? Offerings. Oh, offerings are also required. You can go to some places in the Word of God and you'll see 12 offerings that God requested. 12 offerings. I think it's only right and proper for the child of God that has been given so much liberty in the Spirit of God not to want to give more than 10%. I know many Christians that give more than 10%. the more that I've given over the years, the more I've been given. The more I have. For a number of years now, Renee and I have strived to give each year more to missions. And every time we give more to missions, we have more to give. I mean, it's just God's principles, God's word is true. He says he'll give you a blessing that you can't comprehend. And you give and you'll see that. Learn to have that giving spirit. But here in verse number 9, we see one of the penalties or problems of not tithing is you rob God. That puts you on the bad side of God, doesn't it? Notice verse number 9. Ye are cursed with a curse. For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now notice this. You're cursed with a curse. Again, you can give willingly, obediently, or God comes collecting. Notice verse number 10. Bring ye all the tithes again into the storehouse. And then it says, that there may be meat in my house. Again, that the work may go on unhindered. The penalty, again, the problem of not tithing is the work flounders. The work does not go forward the way it should. Now, let me say this before anyone get the wrong idea. I appreciate, and I on many occasions have told you this, I appreciate the way you, this church, gives. It is a great blessing to me to see how you give. I've never put before you a need or even a dream that has not been met. You have given. This building is proof of it. The way you have given it, the money's always been there when we wanted to do something and when we had time to do it. The money's been there. And every year the giving of this church has increased even without the numbers of people increasing. And that's a great blessing to see that more money comes in, even sometime when we lose members, especially the ones that are students at school, they graduate and leave. We lose people sometimes quicker than we get people, but the finances still stay up there. That's a great blessing. It shows obedience and shows the Lord working and working in people's lives. But here we see in this passage some of the penalty or some of the problem, the curse that comes upon when people are not paying that which is their obligation to give. So the penalty or the problem. The sixth thing I want you to see tonight is what I call the promise for tithing. Now, back in verse number 10, I think we can see in verse number 10 again, the promise for tithing is that the church will go forward. And the church will be, quote, renewed in be able to be renewed in every aspect that it's of its responsibility. We have responsibilities. Not only do we have responsibility to pay staff, we have responsibility to support missionaries. As you see across the back wall, what a blessing it is to see from 8 years ago, one missionary being supported for $25 a month to now 32 missionaries for a minimum of $100 a month and three of them $250 a month and about four of them at $150 a month. That's a great blessing to me. And I want to see it going around. I hope we see a double-decker plaques back there where more missionaries are. We have a responsibility, I think, to help get the gospel out. We have a responsibility of taking care of the facilities here. There's more things that we need to see remodeled here. We have a responsibility of outreaches into the community. We have responsibilities for the edification of the people that are here. All those things. Isn't it amazing how all those things always take money? But that's a part of it, and it comes in. And here in verse number 10, we see that promise. Notice verse number 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. God's care is revealed when you tithe. I remember years ago, I guess the year before I started tithing, and this was one way in which the Lord got my attention. I planted an acre and a half of sweet potatoes. And some of you never have planted a sweet potato in your life. You don't even like sweet potatoes. I feel sorry for you. They're really tremendous things to eat. But I planted an acre and a half of sweet potatoes. And in my mind, I saw me reaping about 150 bushels of sweet potatoes. I was going to have all I wanted to eat, and I was going to have plenty to sell. I was going to have plenty to grow my slips off of the next year so I could plant some more. And that year we had a drought. Out of an acre and a half, I picked one peck bushel of sweet potatoes, and the biggest one was the size of a quarter. And if you've ever seen a sweet potato in the stores, you know, some of those things are that big around, that long, and weigh 2 or 3 pounds. My biggest one was the size of a quarter. And I remember thinking about that on the way home after I dug that peck bucket full of sweet potatoes. And on the way home, complaining about that, God reminded me that I hadn't been tithing. And on the way home that day, I promised God that there'd never be another time where He'd have to remind me of tithing. And for 27 years now, He's never had to remind me again. I've tithed. And I don't say it bragging, I've given more than a tithe. Why? I love Him. Amen. And I want to see Him lifted up. And that's one way in which I can. It shows a heart of gratitude. But here, the promise of giving is the church is going to be able to do what it needs to do. God's going to take care of you. Listen, it's because that the Lord worked in my heart about tithing that I can stand before you with a testimony of I drove a little car 291,000 miles and spent less than $400 on it in 17 years. It's the principle right here that God rebuked the devourer. That little car just ran and ran and ran and ran. And the only reason God allowed it to break was that the ball joint wore down to the spindle was the size of a toothpick. That didn't break. I was driving home from church one Sunday morning, and the gear shift came off it, and I shifted from second to third, and the gear shift came off it in my hand. I'm holding it up here. And I looked for Woody looked for a transmission for that car all over the South, and we had a truck driver in our church at Tri-City that looked at every single state he went into for a transmission for that car and could not find a transmission. So I ended up selling it for junk because I couldn't find a transmission to fix it. Things broke off down in there. It couldn't be replaced. And the junk man that came and jacked my car, I said, I've got to have my tires. I just put a new set of tires on it. When he was taking the tires off, he said, come here, you got to see this. He said, you're ready to get killed. And he was the one that showed me that little spindle on the ball joint in the front end that had worn down to the size of a toothpick. He said this, and he was old, rough looking. He said, God just saved you from getting killed, didn't He, preacher? And I sold it to the junkyard in a few weeks. After looking all over for transmission, that thing passed me one day. I said, they got my car fixed. And I wish I'd had it back. That was the best little car I've had. But God blessed that little car. Why? As a direct result of verse number 11. I've seen refrigerators last for years and years and years when other people were buying them on a regular basis. Washing machines and dryers just last forever and ever and ever. You know, why do you want to go buy a new one all the time? The one you have works fine. And that gives you money to take care of other things, right? Here is a promise for tithing that God's care is revealed. Notice verse number 12. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Makes it sort of interesting to wonder what really the nation of Israel would look like today if they had paid their tithes over the years. Right? The blessing that God would make a country when it honors Him. Now, I take that principle in verse number 12 and I want to apply it to us as a church and us individually. The delightsomeness that God would make us individually and as a church to other people. Every one of those plaques on the back wall represents us being a delightsome church to some missionary. Right? Every time that we vote as a church body to send $1,000 to a missionary or this or that that's having a need, we are a delightsome church to a missionary. When we have someone, say, in our own congregation that has need and we vote to help that individual, we are a delightsome church to that individual. And that's a result of a promise that's given to us as people that tithe. There's a promise that comes that we should promise to fulfill. Now, there's other places that I could go. We could go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and that's where I want to go and close tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, of course, does not have to do with tithing whatsoever. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 has to do with the love offering that the Apostle Paul was taken from the New Testament Gentile churches to be given to the poor saints at Jerusalem. He was going around collecting offerings from them. And this shows how we should be willing to take offerings to help with financial needs that different people have from time to time. And we have done that on a number of occasions. We hear about this person or this church or this missionary or this thing sometimes, and we've said, all right, we're going to have a special offering for this need. And you have given and been a tremendous blessing on a number of occasions, and I can guarantee you we'll do it in the future. But here's the principle right here. It says, now in verse 1, now collect concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Here we see, verse number 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now, he's writing to a church. We see it's going to be done on the first day of the week. That's when they gathered on Sunday. He says, let it lay by in store. That's when it was going to be collected. So, one way in order for us to give should be a periodical giving. I think the best way, if you get paid once a week, you tithe at the end of every week when you come to the church house. If you get paid once every 2 weeks, well, the first Sunday you get after you get paid, bring your tithes to the Lord's house. If you get paid once a month, the first Sunday past that, you tithe. Now remember, your tithe is on your gross. God gets his tithe before Uncle Sam gets his, not after. You don't tithe on your net, you tithe on your gross. And God will take care of that. But here we see that it's a periodical given upon the first day of the week. It says, let each of you, it is personal. Every single person has the responsibility to tithe. We taught our kids when they were little. If we went to Grandpa's house and Grandpa gave them a dollar, you owe God 10 cents. We taught our children that. By the way, you should teach your children the same way. If Grandpa, you go to Grandpa's house and he gives them $5, they owe God 50 cents. Teach your children to tithe. It will lay a foundation young in their life, and they won't have to wait till they're old and God comes collecting to learn that principle. Teach it to them while they're young. Each one, it's a personal. And then the idea of lay by in store is a providential giving. Well, you say, what are you talking about? You lay by in store and you trust God that what you've laid by in store that goes to him, you won't need. God providentially will take care of all your needs apart from that when you lay by in store. And I can guarantee you one thing. If you say, well, yeah, I cashed my check on Friday, but you know I need this or I need that, I will just use my tithe to buy this, and then next week I'll pay 2 weeks at once. You've robbed God for a week. And God is under no obligation then to bless you and take care of you financially that week. You may find out that the devourer comes in during that week that you've robbed God. But then at the end of that next week, are you going to remember that you add the fifth part with it? Are you going to add 20% on top of that? Most people don't think about that requirement that's there. Well, they just pay their 10% the next week. You've robbed God then 20%. You're still in debt. So it's sort of interesting. There's providential giving here. And then it says, as God hath prospered, there's a proportionateness. Now remember, this offering is not the tithe. This is a love offering above the tithe that these people were giving here. As God hath prospered. As you look at what you've given, 10% belongs to the God. You're a thief if you don't give that. Then offerings are as God's prospered you. Over and above the tithe, as you have money that you don't need, then you can be a blessing and give more. And by the way, you tithe, you'll have more to give. You'll have more to be a blessing with. But then, notice he says, the last part here, hath prospered that there be no gatherings when I come. Our giving should be preventive. You know, listen, if we just pray, give our tithe, then see what we have and give in a proportionate way, there should be enough money and for the in the church budget for most things that the pastor won't have to come back and say, hey, you know, we have another need. You need to give here. If we'd give up front as he's prospered us, it would be preventive giving that would take care of things that would come along. That's the idea that I see here. Again, each and every person, young and old, are to give. Again, poor are to give. The rich are to give. You're never too poor to give. And you're never too rich to give. The only way that you'll cease being poor is to give your way out of it. Again, God owns everything. And he deserves obedience in these areas. It's his. All of it. Anyway. And when we obey what he's laid down, we always do better. Now I'll stop with this humorous thing that I read some time ago. A young pastor came to a church. And after he got there, he was having a tough time of it himself and his family. So he decided he was going to preach on tithing. And after he preached a series on tithing, one of his deacons went to him and said, young man, you've really been doing some good preaching until you started meddling with our money. It's God's money.